You ready to roll?
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Let's take our handbooks and turn to page number 129, Rock of Ages. And let's stand, please. What?
That's when you know you're making money. When you use a 20 for a bookmark.
That's better than a $1,200 home. Amen.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wound aside would flow. Be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These poor sins could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to roads unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for this day. Lord, do thank you for coming into this whole world, Lord, and giving yourself a ransom for our sins, Lord. Lord, making it and preserving your word through this time, Lord, that you've, after you left this world, you preserved it in your Bible, Lord. Do pray you to help us, Lord, heed the warnings you gave us, Lord. We ask you to meet with us tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn to page number 19. There is a fountain.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vilely see, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vilely see, wash all my sins away. Number 3, dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church church of God. He saved to sin no more. Number four. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Number five. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave.
Where the soul never dies. We haven't done it in a while.
Doing D. Second fret. Can you do it there? You want to go a little higher? Page number 110. 110, does it have song books? Where the soul never dies. This is an old song here. Can't read that there numerical there. That what year is that there, brother? Can you read it copyrighted the year?
Yeah.
The numerical. I was trying to see what it is. They got it in that there strange stuff. Anyway, I can't read it. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way where the soul of man never dies. Darkest night will turn to day where the soul of man never dies. No sad farewell, no tear dimmed eyes where the soul. A rose is blue.
old song.
Amen. Let's take our handbooks and turn to page number 55. Page number 55, when the roll is caught up yonder. And let's stand, please. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the sail of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is caught up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of His resurrection share, when His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is caught up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all His wonders, love, and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is caught up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen, amen. Well, good to have everyone tonight. I hope you've had a good afternoon. I do want to thank the church for the card and the love offering, and it truly means a lot. And I appreciate it. I appreciate the love that the church has for me and my family. Well, yeah, Brother Stephen, I forgot to. So, amen. Amen. We're not going to do that. Brother Stephen was so kind to push the mute on the pulpit mic. Amen. And get that set up and in place. Well, this is not the message I was going to preach tonight. This morning as I was preparing my heart and getting everything fresh in my mind for this morning's message, God began to speak to me about that same passage of Scripture. And I actually was going to preach about the day that David feared the Lord. Out of 2 Samuel, when chapter 6, when they were going to move the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible tells us that David was afraid of the Lord that day. And I really, that was the message that I had prepared to preach. And so I went home this afternoon and said, all right, Lord, you know, what do you have me preach? And he brought us back over here to Genesis chapter number 2. And I'd like us to come back here, but I want us to understand the importance of God planting us. Instead of tonight looking at, like we did this morning, at what's around us and what have we allowed to come up because we've got that garden, but I want us to realize that we are the vessels that He's planted. We look at Adam there in the Garden of Eden, and we understand that God put Adam there. And I know that I've really preached a lot here lately about our purpose that God has for us. But I wonder about our willingness. You know, I'll be honest. I kind of get upset. You know, everyone else can be offended. Why can't the preacher be offended? I get sick and tired of people saying that they love the Lord, but they don't love Him enough to be faithful. They don't love Him enough to really be in love with the Lord. And so,
you know, we've got this idea that God's going to accept anything that we give, and, you know, it really doesn't matter how much I flourish. But to be honest, Brother James, my wild plum tree that Brother Johnny gave me is, I mean, it's got blooms galore. Now, it's already kind of bloomed, and it's going to produce, I mean, millions and millions of plums. They might be about that big. You say, well, why would you plant a plum tree like that? Well, I didn't. Brother Johnny had grafted, and I don't remember what he had grafted on there, but the graft, it didn't live. But that rootstock did. And boy, it's coming up, and it'll produce little ones around it. And I don't know that it does this, all right? I don't know that I'm not just personifying it, but I look, and I just think of that plum tree with all of these blooms, and it's going to produce this fruit that it stands up and it smiles. It's like, look at, I've done this. This is what I was designed to do. And it's proud to be a plum tree because, I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. And you know, I just look at the excitement that it would have standing there. And I don't care if you're talking about a flower and how that flower should shine and be excited that it's the best flower that it can be. But I don't know that I find that in a lot of God's people. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be critical. I know that this is Sunday night, and I know you say, preacher, we even got out in the rain, and boy, I'm shining already. But listen, don't we live in the day where we need to shine that much more and just set our mind to where it doesn't matter what else is going on. I'm going to be what God wants because He planted me here. I look at Adam and I look at Eve. And boy, they had it, did they not? I mean, really, we'd all say, boy, you know, if God would have chose me, no, every one of us would have failed. Because every one of us still fail. And even when Adam and Eve had failed and they went back out and they were outside the Garden of Eden and they were doing everything that they had to do by the sweat of their brow and they were working for it, they would have remembered back how good God is. Boy, I just want to be what God wants me to be, right where God placed me to be. I'm afraid that we always look at what I'd be if I was somewhere else, or what I could do if I had something else. But God's given them everything that they needed to be what God wanted them to be. And He's given us everything that we need to be what He wants us to be. And so let's look, Genesis chapter number 2, and this is just kind of our springboard. Genesis chapter number 2, we'll stand, look at verse number 4. Genesis 2 and verse 4 is where we'll start, and I'm just going to give you the same text today, and then I want to use it as a springboard to get us forward. In Genesis 2 and verse number 4, it says, these are the generations of heavens and of the earth when they were created. And I know some would say, preacher, what heavens? Remember, there's three. The air we breathe, the atmosphere above us, and then, of course, the heaven where God sits on the throne. And so when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, aren't you glad that He put everything in? I mean, the fine detail. How important is it to have an S? Amen? It says it's accurate right there. That's what that S means. I know some of you are going, I didn't know S meant accurate. It does in the Bible. Amen. And so we find as well in verse number 5, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, and there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground, and the Lord God formed man out of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then over in verse 15, we find here, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And I've got a little note right there in my Bible that I've put in there that says, gave Adam purpose. Amen. He planted him right there in that garden. And that's where we're planted today, is right there in that garden. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, I know that we just use some some illustrations that we can relate to and how you've made it simple, Father, for we are simple-minded people. But Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts in a mighty way today. I pray, Lord, that you would just move. Father, we need you. We need that fresh touch. We need that. Lord, I hate to say, and so often it's just cliche, but we need you to breathe upon us, Lord. Father, we need you to show up. Lord, we're just a little bitty church. And Lord, we're watching great darkness take over. But Lord, we need your help today. Lord, that we would be focused, and Lord, that we just desire more now than ever. Lord, would you just touch us in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I look here at this passage of Scripture and I just rejoice in verse number 9 where the Bible tells us, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight." If you remember over into Genesis chapter number 3, when Eve had looked there at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Satan had told her to look at it and see that it's good, and that's exactly what she did, because God didn't make anything bad. Even though that was the tree that they weren't to partake in, it wasn't an ugly tree. It wasn't one of those of disgust. And yet we have this idea, and maybe not we personally, but as a collective whole, we've got this idea that God, well, it doesn't have to be perfect. We've even convinced ourselves that, well, He wants a willing vessel, and He does. And so if I'm not willing, He doesn't really want me. Hold on a second. God wants us to be willing. He doesn't want to force us, and He won't force us. But to use the fact that God only wants willing vessels and I'm not willing as an excuse for us to get out of being planted where God wants us to be and being what God wants us to be and being used as God wants to use us, it's a sorry excuse. And so we've got this place that we've came and, well, I remember a sermon I preached years ago about the sower and the seed out of Matthew chapter 13. And we'll look over there here in a little bit. And, you know, it's important that we as children of God continue to sow, because we don't know what soil it's going to fall on. We know the different types. We know that there's the wayside that it didn't even penetrate. Boy, they heard it now. They heard it, but it didn't penetrate. We know of the stony place where it penetrated, but it didn't go very deep. And they got scorched out. We know of the thorns, and I preached on that this morning, that they got choked out. And we know of the good soil, the good ground that was fertile, that really came up and it grew. But may I tell you that as a sower, we don't know where we're sowing. We're just sowing. We don't know what that gospel's going to do. And by the way, it's not my place to take it and drill that hole in there and then put that seed. That's not my place. My place is just to sow the seed. But I wonder about in our own heart when God speaks to us. Because it's easy to look out and go, "Boy, Michaela, you need this." And toss her some of what she needs. But you know, it's funny, when God speaks to us, most of the time, we don't respond the same as what we're wanting others to respond. You know, we might hem-haw around about it. We might even go, okay, and kind of, well, we half-heartedly follow. Or we, okay, Lord, I'll commit to that at a better time. A time when it's, I'm willing. And God says, no, here, now. You know, I'm not an expert with seeds, but I do know that they have a shelf life. Now, we've kept some seeds for years, and it's still planted, but there's some certain things that you got to do to it to get it to do it. And you know, when God has that blessing for us, or when God wants to mold us and shape us, He doesn't expect us to put it in the freezer for 2 years before we'll ever use it. Amen. He expects us to go ahead and take it now and plant it and use it and allow it to flourish in our life and allow it to grow in our life. Otherwise, He would have waited till 2 years to give it to us so it'd still be fresh. Amen. And so I want to be. This morning we looked about that plant out of place, and I don't want any plant out of place, but I guess I want to be the plant that's in place. I want to be the place where God puts me. And so we look here, I just simply titled this, God is planted. Every single one of us in here is planted where God's planted you. I was reading a book, Why Revival Tarries, from Leonard Ravenhill. And in that book, he was talking about how we think that God made a mistake. It would be easy. Brother Duke, if I would have been born even 50 years earlier, boy, I could have. They could have listened. We could go back to the old Westerns. And, you know, every one of them, anytime that you had a church scene in a Western, they sang one song, Bringing in the Sheaves. Amen. Think I'm lying. Just listen. Just listen for it. You'll hear it. Bringing in the Sheaves. That's what they always sing. That's the Western song right there. And so, you know, they would sing that song, and boy, I could preach that, and I could preach against the alcohol, and we'd have a people lined up, and they'd have a saloon up there, and we'd preach about that. And no, hold on a second. God planted us now. I mean, I wasn't born 50 years before I was born. No, I was born when I was born. Every one of us have a purpose in this lifetime, right now, in 2021, when it looks like stupid has just increased. I mean, we thought 2020 was bad, and then, well, we can't even have Mr. and Mrs. on potato head dolls. Plastic dolls, they offend someone if they have a gender. Amen. If you don't think that stupid increased, just wait. Gas isn't $5 yet. It's going there, but it's not yet. Amen. And I know that we say, well, preacher, how are we going to make a difference? Well, we're going to be planted, and we're going to let God grow in us and grow us to what He wants. He put Adam and Eve. You know what God's desire was with Adam and Eve? To stay in the Garden of Eden. Not one time did He design them and create them so that they were living outside the Garden of Eden. And I know that we don't have the Garden of Eden, but boy, I'm telling you, we still have the Garden of Eden in Christ. We can flourish, and He gives us everything, and the water that comes up from the earth, and I mean, everything that we need is in Him. We just have to desire to have it. Is that not real? I've heard messages preached about it's not about our ability, it's about our want to, and how true. And so I look at this, and you don't have to hold your place in Genesis, but I look and I find that God is planted. I find that I'm planted in the right field. Go over to the book of Ruth. I love the book of Ruth. I love the book of Ruth. I'm praying about preaching right after the book of Galatians. I want to preach these four chapters in the book of Ruth. And Ruth is in a unique spot. She's right here, right after the judges, and right before the prophets. She's in this place that she's a Gentile and becomes a bride. Woo! I tell you, Ruth is a beautiful picture of the church that's right there, and they don't even see it. Sad part is we don't even see it. And so We find here that we've got to be in that right field. And boy, I'm thankful that I'm in the right field, although I had no right to the field. He's put me there. Notice, if you would, over in the book of Ruth, and let me read you a few verses here, and I'm going to expound on a few things, so just bear with me. Ruth chapter number 2. I want you to look at verse number 7. Ruth chapter number 2 and verse number 7. The Bible tells us here, and she said, I pray you, she's speaking to Boaz here, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. bringing in the sheaves. Amen. And so she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. And then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." And so I look here and I think about old Ruth. And of course we know the account that Naomi, which is Ruth's mother-in-law, her and her family, Elimelech, had went out. And she had two sons. They went to the land of Moab. There was a famine in Bethlehem. And they had went out and they were in that time of famine. Well, while they're there, her husband and her two boys die. And she tries to send both of her daughter-in-laws away and says, "Go back home. I have nothing for you. I'm not going to have another child. There's no reason." Now listen to me. The reason I tell you that we're in the right field is because we chose the right God. Yeah. Amen. He planted me. Now, don't get me wrong. God has a purpose for all. All that'll come to Him may be saved. Amen. They may be. It doesn't mean they're going to come. The salvation's there. It's sitting right here. It's all complete and all is whole. All they have to do is receive it. But I remember that Ruth, when Naomi had told her to go back and have her gods of the country of Moab, she said, "No, I'm going to go where your country is my country and your God is my God." And boy, I'm thankful that we've came as Gentiles. Listen, she was a Gentile. She had no right to Israel. She had no right to the God of Israel. And yet I find here that she said, "Look, your God's going to be my God." I'm thankful that we can come by the blood. Oh, I'm thankful that it's still only by the blood. Oh, listen, we've got this idea that we're in the right field because of the things that we've accomplished and the things that we've done. I'm thankful it's nothing to do with what I've done, but everything for what He's done. And boy, we've forgot how precious it is to be in that right field and come to this place that we can flourish. In fact, I just think about it. As much as I had no right to that field, and the Bible tells us here, if we were to scroll on down into chapter 2 and verse number 16, and the Bible tells us that He goes and He tells those that are reaping His field, "Let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and don't even rebuke her. Leave her alone. Let her get it." You say, "Preacher, what was the purpose of this?" And this was the welfare system of time past. You see, they would harvest certain areas and they would leave certain areas. But old Boaz, he said, "Look, I want you to harvest some, and yet I don't want her to have to pick any. Just go ahead and drop some." Right there in the area that she wasn't even supposed to come. They had just put it down there, so all she had to do was come and bring her bag and she could scoop it up. He had told her there in verse number 9, he said, "When you're thirsty, just go up to them. They've already got the water drawn." Woo! I'm thankful He's got everything that we need, that we're in the right field, that field where we can flourish, that field where we can produce, because He's planted us in Him. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand how it's in Him." Well, if we were to look on in Book of Ruth, we find here in verse number 20 of chapter 2, "Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." But you know the difference. Oh, Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. I'm thankful we have a kinsman redeemer. You say, preacher, how in the world could the Son of God come and be kin to us? Because he took on the form of man. Amen. It was man that had to die on the cross. God didn't have to die on the cross. It was man that owned the sin. It was man that had the debt. Oh, God had to die. Listen to me. Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. The only way he could redeem us is because he came as man and as God. And yet I find here, you say, preacher, how is this so great? How was she able to have all this? Because she didn't even look to another field. Did you notice that? He told her, don't even worry about looking to another field. This is the field you need to be in. You know what I find so many people looking for? Jeremiah the other day, and I don't remember who we were talking to out here in the foyer, but he noticed the sign up above. You ever notice the sign up above the door? It says EXIT. And he's asking what that spells, and he's saying the letters, and he's like, what's that spell? And I said, it's what everyone's always looking for in a church. The exit. Amen. You know, it's amazing to me that we don't usually grow because we're looking for another field. Amen. And yet Boaz told her, in fact, Naomi told her, if we were to look on down into chapter 2, past verse, I think it's verse number 22, she tells her, don't go to another man's field. Stay in that field. Why? Because that's where God's planted you. That's where God's put you with the purpose. Adam was supposed to stay in the Garden of Eden. That's where God had put him. And I find so often we're looking for another field. May I tell you, that field will never make you happy. That field will never satisfy that thirst. That field will never be where you're going to flourish. And so I look and I find that we're planted in the right field, but then we're planted with real fertility. And go over to the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. Matthew 13. In Matthew 13, I love the account of the sower. It's such a simple account, and maybe that's because I'm such a simple mind. I don't know. But I love it. I mean, I can just picture him. Now, he didn't have all the technology that we do. I've got a thrower on the back of my tractor that I can throw out and broadcast as far as you want to go. In fact, it can go through more seed than you want. Amen. And boy, it goes. You say, preacher, I mean, you can put fertilizer in there and all. You can just do the whole thing at one time. And it's great. But I just see the old sower out there with his seed bag. And he's just sowing that seed away. He's just going to town. But I don't want you to look today at you being the sower. I want you to look today at being the soil. I had mentioned earlier about the soil, and we all know it. And we've got that hard-packed soil, that wayside. We've got that stony ground where, boy, it doesn't take much. We're really not rooted in it. We're really not devoted to it. You know, that's really kind of America today. Not really devoted to much except self. And I don't even know that we're really devoted to that because we turn at the wind so much. And the things that we do really isn't healthy for self. But, you know, we get choked out. And all four of them heard the same message. All four of them heard the same message. They all four had the same opportunity. You ever wonder why there's not more Hudson Taylors? Why there's not more Charles Spurgeons? Why there's not more William Carey? Why? Choice. Choice. The fruit of the Spirit, you know who limits us? We've been studying this. You know who limits us? It's not the Spirit of God. It's us. It's our choice. And I know, you say, well, preacher, I believe it's a good balance. I'm afraid that when we use that excuse, and I agree, listen to me, if I was to neglect them, my walk with the Lord wouldn't be right. If my walk with the Lord's right, my walk with them's right. You understand what I'm saying? I can't just turn. You know what bothered me with Samuel? Now, I already know about Eli. Eli was when Samuel was a babe. And Eli was already told. In fact, Samuel's the one that had told him the second message from God and told him that God's going to judge you because your children aren't what you are. But even with old Samuel, his children weren't what he was. You say, but preacher, it's your child's choice. And it is. It is. Eventually, they've got to make their own decisions and they've got to make their own choices. And I get that. But I don't want it to ever be because Dad didn't live the right example. Amen. And I just find that there's not a single one in here that can't grow more or can't grow less. All we've got to do is stop listening. All we've got to do is start listening. No, it's more than that. Even those in the wayside heard the message. So it's more than just hearing the message. It's applying the message. Notice this, Matthew 13, look at verse number 23. This is the explanation there of the good soil. In Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 23, the Bible says, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word." Now listen, they all heard it. They all had that opportunity. But we find that it's not just that they heard it. They understood it. Now I'm afraid that we make excuse for people today and we say, well, they just lack understanding. May I explain to you what understanding in this text means? Application. It's not just that they heard it and knew. No, it's that they heard it and applied it. We are reminded of James, and we'll look over there in a moment, but how many times do we hear but we don't do? There's things that we know that we're supposed to do. I'm going to use Jeremiah as an example. May I tell you that mom and dad have told him more than one time not to run in the house? And even since he's got his arm in a sling, and Jeremiah don't run in the kitchen, you got socks on. You say, "Preacher, what's so important about that?" It's tile. Guess what socks do on tile? Jeremiah, you ever heard that before? Maybe once. And God will speak to us. And I'm thankful, listen to me. I'm not here to beat you up. But I'm thankful that God's long-suffering with us. Because He'll tell us, and He'll tell us, and He'll tell us, and He'll tell us, and He'll tell us. And then we fall and we break our arm. And you know what? He'll tell us again. God's long-suffering with us. Take your Bibles, James chapter number 1. I find here that the reason that this man was able to bear fruit is because he was willing to apply what he had heard. In James chapter number 1 and verse number 22, we find the real problem today is we really have a choice. We can be the wayside. We can be the stony ground. We can be the thorns. We can be the good soil. And the choice comes down to us. God's planted us, and we have the opportunity to be fertile and to really grow and really produce. Why? Because we're in Him, and He's in us, and He's doing the growing until we say no. Amen. I told you earlier that God is not going to force you. God is not going to say, "Brother Richard, I really want you to grow, and if you don't want to, it doesn't matter. I'm going to bring you along. Come here, boy, let me grab you by the ear and let me lead you along." That's not how God works. And I know we find that He has the rod of chastisement. Listen to me, that's because there's some accountability for choices. You can tell me all you want. "Well, you know, He wants me to be willing, and I'm just not willing to do it yet, so God's going to live with that." No, son, I'm afraid you're going to live with that. And you're going to regret it. And I know that this sounds mean and this sounds awful, but it's just the fact. It's just the way it is. There's a time where you're not going to like the results of your choice. Amen. And I look and I find that we have that opportunity to be fertile. There's not a single one in here that can't be just like our Savior. I know you're going to go, "Man, preacher, there's no way." God said it's possible. In fact, in the Bible, it tells us that we could do greater works than He did. I don't see them being done. I mean, Benny Hinn tries. Come here. Allie, come here. Let me hit you in the forehead. You say, "Preacher, yeah, Jeremiah's already got a broken arm. Hey, we'll just take his cast off, and if he's healed, boy, we'll say, look at this faith healing over here." Amen. It's on YouTube. They'll get that. Amen. James, let me go ahead and read this before I get in trouble. James chapter number 1. Look, if you would, in verse number 22. And by the way, this isn't just good advice. We've came to the place where we're that one that says, I'm going to hear it, and it's good advice. I don't know if I want to apply all of it. But he says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. May I tell you that every one of us have the opportunity to be fertile and to really produce what God wants produced in our life, because He's doing the producing, but we're doing the stopping. I love this illustration here in James, because we all know about time in front of the mirror. Guys, I don't care. Every one of us spend time in front of the mirror. Brother James, I know you spend time in front of the mirror. He's got to, you know, get his hair right and get everything in place. But we all do. We have a great big mirror right there in the bathroom. And I'm afraid that it doesn't matter how old or how young, you spend time in front of the mirror. And yet, you wouldn't walk away knowing that something needed to be fixed. And yet, God speaks to us and we hear it, but we do nothing about it. I wonder why we aren't growing more than we grow. And so I look as well. I find that God has planted, and I'm planted in righteous freshness. Righteous freshness. Take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Hosea. Hosea. You know what's so good about our gospel today? Is it still is the only gospel there is. I get upset when people will talk about how, you know, well, you read out of an outdated Bible. The Bible's not outdated. It's your look on it that's outdated. Because there's righteous freshness that we find in the book of Hosea in chapter number 10. Look over in chapter number 10, the book of Hosea, chapter number 10, and I'll give you a minute to get there. Verse number 12 is where I want us to look. And verse number 12. You know what happens when we've been saved a little while? Brother Stephen, I remember young Allie coming to Vacation Bible School and her mom and dad bringing her in. And boy, they were just, it was a time of excitement. I had more fun preaching to Brother Stephen than I did the kids. He was eating it. I mean, he was just a sponge. He was excited. Never heard some of the stories that I was preaching. He said, what are you getting at? You know, it would be good for us to come back to that time. It'd be good for us to get excited at some of those old accounts that we remember so well, and yet they've just kind of become outdated. May I tell you, my God's not outdated. I know that the Bible teaches us that He's since the beginning. Amen. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and I think it was Jonathan and I was talking about it this week while I was over there at his. He was the first sacrifice and the last sacrifice. He's the only sacrifice. Amen. But it doesn't mean He's outdated. And it doesn't mean that we need to be. You know, it's funny to me at how, oh, that's old-fashioned. Right's not old-fashioned. Right's just still right. And so I look here in Hosea chapter number 10, verse number 12. And the Bible teaches us in verses 12 and 13. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. How important is righteousness to you? But more so, how important is righteousness to be fresh to you? You know, I like salad. I really do. I am a salad eater. I don't drown it. Some people like swimming salad. You say, preacher, what's that? That's where they have some more dressing than they do lettuce. Amen. I'm one of those. I like a hint. I like a taste of it. But I like salad. But you know one thing that I want out of my lettuce? I don't care if you're talking iceberg or romaine or whatever lettuce there is. I want it to be crunchy. I don't think that's too much to ask out of my lettuce. Amen? For when I'm going to crunch into it, I want it to be crunchy. I know that sounds, boy, that's just demanding. I sure don't want some piece of lettuce that should have been in the compost pile for the chicken. Amen. I don't want it to be that I'm chewing it and it chews back. You know what I mean? It's like, just sticks to you. Now I know you're going, preacher, what's this have to do? I want it to be fresh. You know what happens when we've been saved for a little while? We start to look at Vacation Bible School and Brother Stephen over there just absorbing it up. And now we get older and we get mature and that's just kid stuff. And I'm afraid that it's not as fresh as it used to be. But the Bible teaches us here, sow to yourself in righteousness. Go on down. Keep looking here and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed in wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way and the multitude of the mighty men. Maybe you'd say, well, preacher, you know, I know God was wanting me to do and I just said no. And you know what happens when we do that? We get hard. We get hard-hearted. We've came to the place that, well, we were talking about tilling the other day and how, you know, if you don't till at the right time, if you till when it's too wet, it's just going to make old clumps and I mean, it's miserable because you're going to have to come back through and break it again. Now, there's some times that you have to so that you can get it to dry out. Boy, I got to get that underneath wet so that it can dry enough so I can even do anything. But most of the time I find that spiritually we'll try to till it up when it's wet and we get these old hard clots, just old dirt clots. And we've got them sitting there and they're all hardened up. You can't plant anything in that. God says break up the fallow ground. When's the last time you've shed any tears reading the Bible? When's the last time you've been excited about Calvary and the empty tomb? When's the last time that, boy, I'm telling you, it was just time to look at the righteousness of our God. Sow in righteousness, reap in mercy. It's not our righteousness. Our righteousnesses are still filthy rags. It's just sowing in Him and coming to that place where He's fresh. He's new again. We had a new birth, but now we're old. Turned 48 years old this week. 48. Now, you ask John and Jacob, I'm old. But I just worked John's tail for a week. He's going, I'm tired, Dad. I'm like, keep going, let's go. You know, so many times in our spiritual walk, we get to where we're old. I'm new. Say, how in the world can you say that? I've been saved for a long time. But it's not long compared to eternity. Amen. My everlasting life has just begun. You should be able to open my spiritual envelope and it's going to say, fresh. Amen. Oh, hey, we should still be crunchy. We should still just be getting excited about the things. Listen, we've got all eternity to do nothing but spend time worshiping the Lamb. Why would it be old now? We've just barely begun. It should be fresh. You know why we don't grow? Why? Because the new of this world, which by the way isn't new, it's old. Satan came up with nothing new. He's still doing the same deceiving that he's always done, but God's still fresh. Wouldn't it be good if we had an Amy Carmichael sitting in the pew? Someone that was just going to come out and say, you know, I'm just going to surrender my life. And maybe it's just the fact that we grow and we bloom right here. That's fine. As long as it's where God wants us and we're willing anything that God wants us to do. And He stays fresh in our life. Oh, that righteousness hasn't become outdated. And He's still everything that he was when we first got saved. That's when we're planted by God. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Lord, I love you. And I'm so unworthy to even be able to, let alone for you to love me. And Lord, I do thank you for planting me, for putting me in the garden of this life that you've given me. And Lord, now I just want to bloom for you. Lord, I pray you'd take this invitation, Lord, use it to your glory and your honor. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, as the music softly plays. God spoke to your heart. I encourage you to come. God's planted you. But I wonder how you're growing. Is righteousness still fresh today? It's time to break up your fallow ground. Been saved for a while, it's just not that fresh. I've got some area I haven't been sowing lately. Break it up. Sow in righteousness and reap in mercy.
Save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment may I humbly testify. Did I mention
thankful he put me in his field. I don't need to look around. I already know the field I need to be in. I know where I need to stay. Oh, those other fields, they're fields of deception. They're fields of disappointment. They're fields of death. No need to even look. I want to be that soil that's fertile, that's going to grow and do what he desires.
About this Jesus, how many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior has done. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him when I can see no way. Made me. I love him. That's all.